Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Tara.
Okay, so I guess it's John Thune. He's allegedly a Republican, hard to tell, leader in the Senate. Going to be snickering, you can count on it, as he forces Donald Trump to sign a bill that allows 1.4 million illegals to illegally stay on Medicaid, would have removed them, doesn't give them Medicaid. The absolute grinding absurdity of this is shocking. Again, federal law is clear. You cannot get Medicaid if you are not an American citizen, if you are not legally here. It's jaw-dropping that we can't get 1.4 million illegals off of Medicaid. I personally don't even understand why we need a bill to do this. I cannot find an explanation of that anywhere. So here's where we are this morning. The parliamentarian, who is a Democrat, she was appointed by Harry Reid when he was the Senate leader, definitely a Democrat, is who rules the country. You want to talk about an emperor? We just got rid of the judges, liberal judges. She is an emperor, empress, whatever. I didn't vote for her. John Thune did, though. And because she says, well, no, this is a 60-vote threshold here. Sorry, you got to take it out. Illegal's going to have to get to Medicaid. John Thune, who is elected twice, once as a senator and the second time as the leader of the Senate, is like, okay, sure, whatever. If he wanted, he could fire her today and hire me. And I would say, yeah, let's go for it. These are fake boundaries, fake rules. He is hiding behind a girl to put this back in. Why is this happening? This is an absolute unmitigated outrage. Why is this happening? To understand it, you got to step back for a minute and understand how the Republican Party has worked for a very long time. It has had a deep and wide cancer and a disease. By the name, there's three names: Daddy Bush, George W. Bush, and the ultimate cancer, Karl Rove. And Politico did a wonderful article a number of years ago explaining how this gig works. Karl Rove went around for two decades in Republican primaries. And if you would take the open borders money for the Bushes, open borders is a religion. It's the key to globalism, destroying America once and for all, dissolving it into a big global melting pot, ending everything special about it. The single most damaging presidency, and thank God there was only one, was Daddy Bush's first presidency. His second presidency through his son, who wasn't that bright, but did the evil by the hand of dad. This just truly the most destructive that America has ever seen, because it enabled everything Barack Obama did after, in fact, Bush did it first. And so for confused Republicans who during those years said, you know, the media was saying to us, you must be racist. Why do you care if Obama does this? Why do you care if he opens the borders? And we were like, what? No, we just oppose on political. The reason they were saying it, the media was right, because Bush did it first. And we let him. So open borders was very much the religion. And the Bush family has controlled the Republican Party for about four decades, really three and a half, with a raft of money. They're not like Elon Musk. They don't have money. Where do they get it? Open borders lobby. Massive deep pockets there from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce to every major business executive who profits off the scam that is illegal immigration. It is a tax evasion scheme. They're all in and on it together. I think for the Bushes, personally, I think they want to destroy America. I mean, I think they're truly globalist. You want to destroy it in its current form. That absolutely New World Order, Daddy Bush, I mean, he wasn't kidding. By the way, he announced the New World Order on 9/11. You know that, right? Yeah, the first 9/11. That one just as damaging to the country long term. Anyway, when you understand that John Thune, Lindsey Graham, Nikki Haley, Tim Scott rode in on that raft of Bush money, there's about five funding bases in the Republican Party. One of them is the Bush money base. Trump has all but defeated it, but we still have the cancer in some parts of the party. And John Thune is a cancer, so is Lindsey Graham. Tim Scott, same thing. What they're paid for is very simple. They can act like Republicans. They do whatever they want the rest of the time. But when open borders comes up, they call. And your entire fundraising base, your ability to raise money, as is the case of leader John Thune, comes from that cabal. Those are their donors. That's how he wields power or could take you out in a primary, right? John Thune got the phone call. What we got to do here, what we need to do here is hold on to the illegals. Got to get them through the Trump term. You can't find and deport all 12 million that Joe Biden brought in. So if we can keep them in Medicaid, if we can keep them getting food stamps illegally, because Bush is never mind breaking the law, ask Dick Cheney about that, NSA spying, we can hopefully keep them here. We can throw them the lifeline that they won't self-deport, as a million already have. The open borders GOP lobby is absolutely terrified of this because their criminal business partners want to continue the scam that is open borders. Let me give an example of what you're dealing with here when you have a guy like Thune who hates Trump. I mean, he mocked him during the election, told him to stay out of the Senate election. None of our business. This is a guy who has a low 40s approval rating in his own state, dictating to President Trump, right? This is who these people think they are. When you understand how bad this is, okay, I'm going to give you an example of this. George Bush, Barack Obama, and Bill Clinton formed a nonprofit almost 3 years ago. Remember how Joe Biden lied about those flights into the country with the illegal immigrants? He was flying in. He'd issue them a QR code, and then they had to accept it at the border. And they kept saying, no, we're not doing it. And then once they finally got busted, okay, we are doing it, but don't worry, taxpayers aren't paying. Well, that was because Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, and George Bush, with his open borders lobby money, they were raising the money for the flights into the country. So when you see Alligator Alcatraz this morning, and Florida desperately trying to get the Haitian illegal immigrants out of their state, they're flying out the people that Bush, Obama, and Clinton flew in. Now you're thinking, isn't that illegal? Yes. It would make a great RICO case. All three should go to prison for the rest of their lives on multiple felony charges. But you got to understand, that's who's calling John Thune, okay? It's Bush. If it's not Bush personally, and it probably is, they're sending the donors after him and reminding him, we'd take you out in a primary. We'll pull the rug out from underneath you. We'll just take your money. Now do this for us. It's the only thing we've asked for you in years. Pretend that the parliamentarian is holding you back. Make sure to keep these illegals in SNAP benefits. Make sure to keep these, in other words, food stamps. That's illegal for them to get, but breaking the law ain't nothing for these people. And make sure that they have Medicaid, because we got to keep them here. Got to hide them from Trump. To fight for America's soul. And ultimately for freedom. Because you're looking at Zohran Mamdani up there in New York. You want that rule in a country? We're so stupid. We're laughing. Oh, yeah, let them win. Yeah, they'll never win. You give this country amnesty, it's going to be a Mamdani rule in every state. They'll have two or three left to run to. And that could happen. We were just votes away from it under Joe Biden. But we came razor's edge from amnesty. Trump may do it himself before the term's over. He tried in his last term. Would have amnestied 2 million, but it would have really been more like 10 with the document fraud. That's where we are. That's why this is happening. There was absolute outrage online. Understand, this is the last hit by George W. Bush. The last bloody chance these people have to hold on to their open borders destruction of this country. And there's a brilliance to what Thune is doing, okay? There's 10,000 immigration agents in there, ICE agents. There's, money to finish Trump's wall. There's billions for deportation flights. Thune doesn't dare tank all of that, okay? Neither does Lindsey Graham. He wants to get elected. He's the budget chairman. So what do? You put a poison pill in there. You put the massive spending in there that violates the Freedom Caucus pledge with Mike Johnson, and you put the 1.4 million, because it's basically funding their Medicaid. I mean, the money is in there, and then you send it over the House as you laugh and giggle and sneer, knowing it'll probably tank the big, beautiful bill. and Trump's entire immigration agenda. You can keep the illegals, and hopefully get your open borders, Chinese-style dictatorship. That's the play overnight in the Senate. That's what they just did. These people are evil, and they must be defeated. And I hope Elon Musk uses his righteous rage, which we all feel this morning, against the John Thunes, against the Karl Roves, against the Bush cabal. I expect this of Bill Clinton. I expect this of Barack Obama. They're stone cold evil. But we got to admit, we got the cancer in the party too. It is the Bush folks. They need to be wiped out, or we are going to still lose this country. Elon Musk outraged overnight, threatening to primary members of Congress who vote for Trump's mega bill. This is just a big collision course. Says he'll back challengers to members of Congress who vote for Donald Trump's big, beautiful bill. Yes, because it comes with the largest ever debt expansion. Record breaker. You vote for this, you can't say a thing about Democrat spending. You will shatter what Joe Biden did. One thing I kind of like about that, what Musk is doing here, he's not going after Trump. Have you noticed this? I mean, they're obviously in a fight, the two of them. He's not going after Trump. He's going for Republican. Why? He knows that Donald Trump tried. He does. He knows that. So that's why he said it. Now, Trump considers it a personal attack, you know, that he's going after the big, beautiful bill at all. But Musk gets it. It is these whore Republicans, and they are, they're whores. They do not care about the country. They do not care about their own grandchildren. They're psychopathic. Or they figure, well, I'm going to make so much money on the back end from this sitting on committees, because that's how they're rewarded, you know, once they leave office, that I'll just pass it on to my kids. Or they just don't care. Elon Musk wrote, every member of Congress who campaigned on reducing government spending, that would be all of them, and then immediately voted for the biggest debt increase in history. He says, vowing they will lose their primary next year if it is the last thing I do on this earth. Good. 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 I'm glad. In fact, what I really think Musk should do is buy a big, beautiful ranch somewhere and start taking over the Republican Party for when Trump is gone. He's not perfect. There are a lot of things about him that I don't like, but he needs to begin fielding his own candidates, backing them the way Soros does, so that after a cycle or two, people are afraid. They're afraid to do stuff like this because it is the only way forward, folks. We are going to go broke. Earlier, Elon Musk fired off a few more posts on X, criticizing the bill as insane. I mean, $5 trillion debt ceiling increase. And taking direct aim at the conservative Freedom Caucus. See, that's where he's wrong. How can you call yourself the Freedom Caucus if you vote for debt slavery bill with the biggest debt ceiling increase in history? I get it, but they're kind of captive to Trump. You know what is so unfair here? If you want to lop almost $400 billion off this thing and get it at least back down to the Biden spending levels, you know you can do that? Go after the moderates who insisted that we subsidize high-tax Democrat states with the salt tax write-off. Nobody has yelled about them. Trump should be shaming them the way he is the Freedom Caucus for just wanting their grandchildren to not be poor. Because that's where this is going. Look, Kevin Hassett, who is Trump's economic policy chair, he's economic council chair, generally a good guy, did not deny, folks, we will be at $60 trillion in debt in 10 years on this path. And I want you to hear what he's saying. And folks, understand, there is a lot of great stuff in the big, beautiful bill. I want it to pass. I understand that it's going to have to pass with this level of debt. It has to. If I was up there and I had to vote for it, I would. And I'd freaking hate it. But folks, we don't get these illegals out, country's gone. You will be ruled by the next Zohran Mamdani, or maybe actually him, because he's going to flip those states blue. Those are the breaks. Who caused this? Elon Musk is correct. He's going to go after these people. He might have named the Freedom Caucus, but he says everyone who votes for this, good, take them out. Make them pay. Why? They larded it up. I like that they forced this crap sandwich down Trump's throat to get here. And let me, this clip right here will show you where we actually are, okay? And again, I don't want this bill to fail. There's no way forward. And that makes me really angry. You can hear the righteous anger in my voice. We have to. My kids are going to live under communism if we don't get these people out. Democrats know it. You're watching that party tilt. Folks, one amnesty and it ends. It just ends. The country's done. You know it. I know it. Trump knows it. And these Republicans are taking advantage of it. Anyway, here's Kevin Hassett, economic advisor, not disputing Maria Bartiromo. She says, we're going to be $60 trillion. We're 36 right now, trillion in debt. We're going to be $60 trillion in debt in 10 years. That is not sustainable. It's not. And listen to how he says they're going to get around it.
This 10-year expectation that we're going to have deficits of $2.2 trillion a year and debt of almost $60 trillion by 2035.
Look, the bottom line is that if we get 3% growth, then we're going to have $4 trillion more revenue than the CBO score, which means that already the deficit's going down by trillions. The CBO has told us that the tariffs that are already in place, President Trump's tariffs that are already in place, are going to give us extra revenue of $2.8 trillion over 10 years. And the DOGE cuts, people forget about the DOGE cuts. They don't count in the big, beautiful bill because you can't have discretionary spending in a reconciliation package. We've now accumulated DOGE cuts that we can send to the House and the Senate send back and to give the people their money back of $160 billion. That's almost $2 trillion over 10 years. And so this is the biggest deficit reduction, the most fiscally responsible package in the history of American fiscal policy.
Yeah.
And so anybody who claims to speak for fiscal responsibility and opposes this bill and our actions is just pushing partisan propaganda.
You can hear Maria. Yeah, she knows she's being fed a crap sandwich. Here's the first problem on this, okay? This.
Look, the bottom line is that if we get 3% growth, then we're going to have $4 trillion more revenue than the CBO score.
Average growth last 20 years, 2.2%. Trump can't control that. And Trump can't control that when he's gone. He just can't. You can't make that promise. I mean, look, if we had a chance to get to 3% growth under anybody, it's going to be Trump, okay? I have no doubt he'll do it a couple times. But you can't count on that. And he's not going to be here in 6 years. You can't. And here's the other problem, as Lee pointed out yesterday with what Kevin Hassett just said. Yeah, you got money coming in for the tariffs. $27 billion in June, by the way. That's fantastic. But you got two problems. Number one, they're going to go away. They're not going to be around in 10 years. They may not be around in 24 months. Because the goal, as Trump has said, is to get to 0-0. Get the tariffs off us. It's a tool. It's not a permanent funding structure. And number two, Lindsey Graham already spends all the tariff money over there in the Senate. They added $1.2 trillion to this monstrosity to lard it up, I think, to tank it in the House as a way to stop the immigration enforcement. I think that's what they're trying to do because they know Mike Johnson promised the Freedom Caucus, okay, we're going to go dollar for dollar. If you're going to do tax cuts, then we're going to cut spending. And they did it. They pulled it off for the most part. Not a good bill, but it's They just barely got there. They knew that was the holy grail for the Freedom Caucus and Lindsey Graham, who's the budget chairman, just blew it up. So I really think what this is they're poison pilling it between making Trump approve a bill that keeps 1.4 million illegals on the Medicaid rolls, undermines his self-deport thing. I mean, Trump is doing an amazing job. Do you realize a million have self-deported? A million, they're gone. New York Times says it's 770. New York Post calculations a million. So it's right in there. They're out of the workforce. That's how they know they're gone. And folks, that is why the working class got the largest ever pay raise ever recorded under any president. and the largest pay raise of the last 60 years. It was actually across two Trump terms, 1.7%. In 5 months. Why? Because the illegals and the employers aren't stealing the money anymore. Bushes don't like that. They want to keep you poor, beaten down, and surf-like. These are evil, 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 evil people. They are not Democrats. They are globalists. They are not Republicans. They are globalists. They love the Chinese system and they want it here. That's the breaks. But I would leave you with one thing. Even though they're all trying to tank the bill with poison pills, especially Lindsey Graham, who, by the way, thinks your kids have an extra $1.2 trillion to throw at this thing over what the House spent. He didn't care. He didn't have kids or a wife, which is weird. He doesn't care. That's a poison pill. They know the buttons to push to get the Freedom Caucus to rebel here. But don't count Trump out. It's the number two story in the nation right now. Everybody's talking about this. It all goes something like this. Hero dad dives into sea to save daughter who fell from Disney Dream Cruise. Treaded water for 20 minutes before holding her head above the water, which is kind of exhausting when you get looking at the waves. Treading water for 20 minutes before they're pulled to safety. So fearless father jumps off a Disney cruise ship. His daughter fell over Sunday, miraculously grabbing her and then treading water. He's lucky he got her before she went underneath the waves. Then treading water for around 20 minutes until they were rescued. Not exactly speedy on Disney's part. They'd already drifted significantly away from the ship because, those waves will really pull you. The Disney Dream ship was headed from Florida to the Bahamas when the emergency alert suddenly boomed. Mr. M.O.B., man overboard. Port side, man overboard. So the girl apparently fell overboard from the fourth deck, about 50 feet. Dad dove right in after. Okay, a couple of things here when I saw this. Hero dad? Look, that's your job. And what's he going to do? Stand there? No, the kid goes over. You're going over. You got to go. It's your job. Treading water, however it ends. Treading water for 20 minutes before they're pulled to safety. We see these stories, and badly, a lot of the time, especially with rip currents, people go out and try to save a child, and they end up dying. The child ends up back on the shore. But the good news is this. Both a little girl and a dad successfully rescued, quote, lots of praying people on this ship, posted passenger Dwayne Smith, who also reported the little girl fell overboard and her dad jumped overboard to save her. They say the deck is open air, although its railings are, get this, chest height to an adult or higher than most kids' heads. She's about 5. Yeah. Well, then it came out that according to witness reports, the hero father sat her on the plexiglass railing to take a photo and she fell over backwards into the ocean. This poster said he should be horsewhipped and arrested for reckless endangerment, not commended for heroism. Whatever the case, he did what she's supposed to do. As a dad. I'm still shaking my head. Okay. Meanwhile, y'all. Holy cow. Holy cow. This Oron Mondami, this is the future of the Democrat Party. They know it. They're just afraid to say it. They want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to go full bore communism. They love the shortcut this guy took. But they also want to pretend it's not who they are until it's too late for you to do anything about it. Except for Democrat Senator Chris Murphy, who made this admission about the New York mayoral candidate now selected in the Democrat primary.
Do you think so that Mamdani is the future of the Democratic Party?
Well, I think his message, his economic message is the future of the party.
His economic message is the future of the party. And what is that? That was C's means of production. We need to seize means of production. Now, he admits the people are not ready for this yet, so they're going to have to be walked up to communism. And that is, folks, that is literally, unless Google has changed it this morning, the definition of communism. It'll be interesting to see if Google has changed it this morning. No. This is Google's put in definition of communism. Communism is a political and economic ideology that aims to establish a stateless, classless society with common ownership of the means of production. What did Mom Donnie propose?
Right, or whether it's the end goal of seizing the means of production.
Google, definition of communism. Common ownership of the means of production.
Have you endorsed them yet?
Oh, wait, wrong one. I'm sorry, here.
We are unapologetic about our socialism. There are also other issues that we firmly believe in, whether it's BDS, right, or whether it's the end goal of seizing the means of production.
Okay, so Senator Chris Murphy, Democrat, tell me again.
Do you think so that Mamdani is the future of the Democratic Party?
Well, I think his message, his economic message, is the future of the party.
Great. Okay. Cool. I'm glad we know. Because what he's describing here is political persecution using the tax system. This was from yesterday.
You're saying we're simply describing the types of neighborhoods that would see these increase in taxes. And yet, by invoking race, do you run the risk of potentially alienating key constituents?
I think I'm just naming things as they are. And ultimately, the thing that motivates me in this is to create a system of fairness. It is not to work backwards.
Yeah, he says he's going to tax white neighborhoods. It's classic communism. Seize the means of production. Now, here's what's interesting, okay? He even admits people aren't ready for this yet.
Whether it's BDS, right, or whether it's the end goal of seizing the means of production, is that it is critical that in the way that we organize, in the way that we set up our work and our priorities, that we do not leave any one issue for the other, that we do not meet a moment and only look at what people are ready for, but that we are doing both of these things in tandem, because it is critical for us to both meet people where they're at and to also organize for what is correct and for what is right.
Okay. So understand, like Hakeem Jeffries, who is the minority leader in the House, he's a Democrat, wouldn't endorse Mamdani. Folks, it's not because they disagree. It's because they're afraid you're not ready yet and they'll scare you even more than they already have.
Have you endorsed him yet?
I have not. So what's holding you back from endorsing him right now?
Well, we don't really know each other well. Our districts don't overlap. I have never had a substantive conversation with him.
I've never had a substantive conversation with him. He's talked to him before. He knows who he is. It just wasn't substantive. They don't want you to know until it's too late. That's why they're sneaking their voters in on over the border under the cover of night. They don't want you to know till you wake up in the middle of it and it's too late. But it's good. Because if we're going to go to this kind of authoritarianism as a country, and we will. We don't have a dozen more alligator Alcatrazes firing off all day. 5,000 a pop. 5,000 a pop, because that's how many beds there's ultimately going to be there. Deport, 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 deport. We're going to live in that world. Because the Democrats will take power again and they will amnesty. They will. So I want Americans to choose this. If we're going to flirt with this, I want Americans going wide-eyed into it, because I want them to deserve it when it happens. But I hope it doesn't happen. So, you know, we're going to get a snoot full of this. They're not hiding from it. At least some of them are. So, Senator Chris Murphy admitting Zoran Mondami. Somebody just sent me a text. I should call him Moron Some Dummy. I like that, actually. If you don't mind, I think I might take it. Moron Some Dummy. Senator Chris Murphy admitting, this is bombshell stuff. Yeah, that's kind of where we're going. Wait, look, you and I knew that. We get real news. You listen to talk radio. I do too all day. Maybe the American people need to see this.
Do you think so, that Mamdani is the future of the Democratic Party?
Well, I think his message, his economic message, is the future of the party.
Cool, because here it is.
We are unapologetic about our socialism. There are also other issues that we firmly believe in, whether it's BDS, right, or whether it's the end goal of seizing the means of production.
Yep, seizing the means of production. Google communism, definition of communism. Just put that into Google. Government-controlled, quote, means of production, unquote. And look, Senator Chris Murphy, to his credit, is being honest. If you want to see the plan, it's in the New York Times article, June 2022. You want to buy meat, question mark, in this economy, where they talk about how Joe Biden needs to get on with it, declaring a climate emergency so they can enact the Lever Act, which is already law. It's on the books. They used it during World War I, and it allows the government to seize means of production of food and energy. And that should be where Joe Biden is going. I think it was where he was going until his polling hit rock bottom and the Democrat Party had all kinds of problems. So I believe Senator Chris Murphy did. That's what they're going to do. They wanted to use the Lever Act to seize means of production. Let me tell you what, they get that amnesty, they get that permanent majority, they will do the Lever Act so fast your head will spin. And then you'll be asking the Democrat Party for permission to turn on your air conditioner in the summer. And the answer will be no. Unless you're a party member in good standing, which is how this works. Xi Van Fleet grew up in China. She witnessed firsthand what that revolution was like. And here is her warning about Mo Ron, some dummy, who wants to be the mayor of the world's financial center, New York City.
He is more than just the typical woke Marxist that focus on identity politics, DEI, and oppressor and oppressed narrative. He is a full-fledged communist. I don't know whether the New York voters understand what it means that seize means of production. That means abolish private property. That means the state will take over businesses, capital, land, and the resources. And that's the place I came from. I shopped in the government-owned grocery store. And what it is like, long line, ration, and empty shelf.
Yep.
And I lived in a government-granted housing. My family of five had 1.5 room, and we were lucky because we share bathroom with four other families. Others, they have an outhouse. And I grew up in the, and I endured the educational system that required that every day we raise our class consciousness. And what that means is to follow the party line. And I escaped that world. I came here for freedom. And if America falls, all of us have no place to go. New Yorkers, you have to wake up. I'm so glad President Trump sees through it and call him a communist. He is a communist.
She grew up under communism. And then she said this, and I loved this.
I always tell people, capitalism can't guarantee that everyone will be wealthy, but communism can guarantee that we are all poor. And that's where I experienced in China. And we have to educate the young people.
Ukraine, Cuba, China, USSR, they always do the same thing. If you want to understand in depth how it works, read the book. It is one of my all-time favorites, probably top five, Ayn Rand, We the Living. She lived through the communist revolution in the USSR and the time after. And if you were not a party member in good standing, then you got a card. Everybody gets a card, a ration card, right? You have a right to stand online and get the food because they control everything. They control the toothpaste, the food, the soap, whether you have a jacket in the winter. And the way the system was designed, the basically last roughly quarter to 15% of the cards, it was plumb empty by the time you got there. And those cards went to people not in good standing with the party. So now you got a choice. You either have to buy or trade on the black market, which is highly illegal, which will put you in the gulag, Or you have to spend all of your free time at party activities trying to improve your place in the line. It's brilliant. Americans think, oh, they probably came took you in the middle of the night. No, they didn't do any of that. They didn't have to. They didn't have to. They did it all through food and starvation. That's why people always starve in communist countries. They take the grocery stores. They control them. The cards for your place in line reflect your value as a human being to the party, and the food runs out by the end. Can you imagine no soap, no toothpaste, no food? How desperate you would be. There were people freezing to death because those Soviet winters were cold because they weren't high enough in rank to get a jacket for winter. But if you didn't go to your job that they assigned you, you didn't eat at all. Life revolved around the party. She knows, she understands, and so does Mo Ron, some dummy. It's exactly what he wants to start in New York City.